This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, on a hump day. This hour of the show is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Chris Thomas is in for Carl today, who's doing his weekly. I wish it was weekly.
Could you imagine
him out there? But he's doing his annual trip with Vegas in the tournament and hanging out with his boys. And, man, it's always a great weekend for the tournament. Last night we already talked about just the highlight moments. And we'll be over at Hooters, baby, Cumberland location. So if you're over in that neck of the woods, guys, come out and see us. Smyrnites, join the party, pal.
Hooters.
We'll be there. And, of course, Georgia will be tipping at 4:30-ish with Gonzaga. And hopefully Georgia takes care of Midas. And then, we can stop. I'll get off Mike White's back and get a win, you man, in the tournament. That's what you're here for.
6-point dog.
Yeah.
Against the Dogs.
Well, I think, but that's rep. That's because Georgia has no rep nationally. That's specifically Vegas because Gonzaga is a brand, although it's not an elite Gonzaga team by their standards, but that's just trying to get the action. I was going to save this story for Guy Talk, but when somebody nails it, when somebody, could be any walk of life, any endeavor, when somebody puts up, like Nadia Comaneci puts a 10, this is perfect. This is Don Larson throwing the perfect game in the 56 World Series. This is. I'm talking about Scottie Scheffler's Master's Menu. It's perfect.
You're right.
Now, for those who don't follow golf, this is one you can bear with me for a second. When you win the Masters, the next year they have a champion's dinner. So it's only guys who have the green jacket, and you get to have your own meal. And Tiger won it so many times. He did a number of different type styles. I know that Nan down the street, he had the chef from Nan do a Thai thing one time. And, you know, when you win as many times as Tiger or Jack, you can obviously alternate your menus. Scottie Scheffler, as the Masters champion, gets to pick. Let me just run this by you real quick. And I find no fault in this. I could literally eat this every single night. Now, you do have options, yes, on your main course. What do you mean? How dare you shake your head at this?
I think it's just given some recent circumstances.
Well, no,
I would go with the fish,
okay? All
you
right?
Pass up that delicious steak for the fish?
No, I mean, I'm now, by the way, I have the meeting with the cardiologist. For those who are new to the show, I had to get a stent put in my lad. They call it the Widowmaker. Never tell your wife you're getting a stent in your Widowmaker artery with 99% blockage. She does kind of freak out over that. But anyway, got to go see my doctor. Follow up tomorrow. I'll tell you about that. But needless to say, no more ribeyes for a while.
Right.
But anyway, start with the appetizers. Scottie Scheffler's appetizers. Cheeseburger sliders served Scotty style, which is obviously his Texas version of something cool. Firecracker shrimp, sweet Thai sriracha mayo. That's perfect. I mean, these are appetizers I get all the time. Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites. Pecorino cheese, tomato basil sauce. Those are great appetizers. I could order. I could. Those are appetizers I would order anytime, anywhere if they're on the menu.
And they're inspired by his dad, which is really
right.
cool.
First course, Texas-style chili, cheddar cheese, jalapenos or jalapenos, as they say in the Marine Corps, and corn chips.
Mm.
Now, he's going to have his own Texas thing. Now, some guys who said they would go with French onion soup. I said, it's, you know, it's Texas, and who doesn't love great chili?
That's a bit of a change from his last one. They said he took out the tortilla soup, right. and he added in the chili this time.
I like it. Main course, wood-fired cowboy ribeye. Can never go wrong there. Or blackened redfish, family-style mac and cheese. Perfect. Jalapeno cream corn, perfect. Soy glazed Brussels sprouts, perfect. Chipotle lime roasted sweet potatoes.
Whoa.
Friggin' perfect.
Sounds great.
This meal is, and then I saw Dave Portnoy was talking about this from Barstool. If you can get this, I know I got to be careful with my sweet tooth. Warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with vanilla ice cream as your dessert.
And it melts in your mouth.
Absolutely perfect. I heard Bo Johnson talking about it. I like to take the Chips Ahoy cookies, put them in the you can take four or five, put them in the microwave for about 45 seconds, and get them nice and gooey with some ice cream on top. It's like restaurant-type vibe. That is an absolute perfect dinner, and I defy anyone to say otherwise. That's perfection from Scotty Scheffler.
No, it absolutely is. And my favorite part about it, ain't nothing bougie on it.
No, man, but it's something that you could get at a great restaurant, at a medium-priced restaurant, or you could just whip it up yourself. That's why I think it just checks kind of all the boxes and all the apps. Like I said, Oren, so your only beef would be what?
Oh, there is no beef with it. I have no beef with that one at all.
There you go. You gave me that look.
Bring everything, though. No, I'm absolutely from, like, normally, like, sometimes you'll get, like, you'll get some stuff on there. And it's just, it's right. everybody has their own preference right. as they, because it's your meal, what you want to serve.
Well, there's no right. tuna tartare or oysters on the half shell.
Yeah.
I mean, which I dig. I mean, oysters Rockefeller, but again, that's not everybody's bag. But firecracker shrimp, it's perfect.
Oh, it's great. It's a
great appetizer. And, you know, Papa Chef's meatballs and ravioli bites. I just had the veal meatballs over at New Realm last time. Oh, by the way, should have seen this one lady. One lady was loving it and took pictures. Another woman, an older couple, was disgusted that Ike was sitting at the table at New Realm outside, and I was feeding him a bite of the veal meatball with a fork.
And he gently taste it too, yeah.
takes it off the fork because he's done it before because I spoil it rotten.
But. I mean, Ike, he does have a Chewbacca-esque quality
he
to
does.
Him.
He so. Does. By the way, if you want to take a look at the menu and draw your own conclusions, I think it's perfect. I put it up at Mike Bell ATL. The Masters tweeted on the Masters page as well. There you go. Hey, we'll talk more about it or less coming up in Guide Talk. Right now, though, it's time to talk about football with 4th and 1. Brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. As my compadre Carl normally says, they always find a way to find the money. Falcons found the way, and we kind of felt like we were looking like we're on a budget. But if you missed it, guys, we bring in a veteran safety who has missed some games. He's had some injury issues, but it is a nice piece. Jordan Fuller, who, of course, has some, anytime you have familiarity with a guy, just like you got with Morgan Fox coming from the Rams. He played for Raheem Morris when he was DC. So we bring in Jordan Fuller. So you said it earlier, you like the move.
Yeah, he's a guy that's going to slide right in, vet player, be able to start, be able to help groom a guy like DeMarco Helms coming off injury and be a nice piece opposite Jesse Bates, which they haven't been able to find. They tried to do it with Simmons last year, another vet with a good resume. We'll see if he can be what Justin Simmons was supposed to be here in Atlanta. And, Mike, I think the biggest part is it takes another necessary piece off your draft board.
Right. So safety's not a concern. I still think we could go, look, if you find a defensive tackle that you really love, I think edge is still certainly a concern. But I just have a, my spidey sense says defensive tackle. And I guess we still haven't heard anything on the Ryan Neuzel front yet.
No.
Stay tuned on that one.
Which is just weird.
Yeah,
because you would think now he's the option, right?
I haven't heard anybody sniffing around. He did take over for Drew Dahlman, who eventually you guys know signed with the Bears. And I thought Neuzel was good. We didn't complain about him. And maybe they're just trying to get it as cheap as possible. I don't know. But the idea that you would try to find a center with one of your first two picks, that's crazy. You don't take a center in the top 15 pick. That just makes no sense.
And there's only really one good one.
Right.
And that's the guy from our backyard.
Hey, man, the moves for the rest of the NFL, Rondale Moore, we talked about him. He's trying to get signed by somebody else. We never got to see him. Last year he blew out. It was a knee, right? Was it the knee?
I think it was a knee injury. Kept him out the whole year.
Right. So he was with the Cardinals before we got him. We loved his speed element, but we never got to see it. He's been talking to some other teams. Apparently he's talking with the Titans today. Meanwhile, we've got news that Jalen Milroe runs a 4.37 at the Alabama Pro Day. And if you feel you could just tighten up some of the inconsistencies with his accuracy, then that, my friend, is a top 25 pick.
Yeah. Anthony Richardson?
Well, I think Anthony Richardson should have stayed with Billy Napier in Florida, and I certainly think that Jalen Milroe, if you don't feel you're getting the coaching from Kalen DeBoer, I would have gone to one of the – find some elite offensive mind somewhere, even if it's a crappy school, but go put some numbers up and get a little more seasoning with your passing. But, hey, man, no time like the present to go cash in. I think you could have presented yourself as a number one or number two pick had he done that. He's now, though, with the numbers he put up today at his pro day, that's pretty impressive.
Now, the one QB I've been consistently hearing is moving up the boards is Jackson Dart. Does he, after today, maybe slide ahead of him? I don't know.
Yeah, now somebody. I just think the Steelers have been the team that's been linked mostly to Jalen Milroe. Would they be interested in a gap year guy as Milroe comes along? Because the Steelers have got to win a playoff game. They're not doing that anymore under Mike Tomlin.
I know a guy who's hungry to win one.
You're gonna, yeah. I mean, Kirk Cousins to the Steelers, and then Steeler fans will be like, enough. Let's be, you know what they'll be wanting Jalen Milroe, and that's not what Kirk wants. Kirk got his panties in a twist, and look. Say what you want. And Carl and I argued about this last spring when it went down. He was under the impression they were not going to bring a challenge to him this year. And then they turn right around and go get Michael Penix Jr., which is fine. At the end of the day, we're excited about Penix Jr. I'm just telling you the circumstances where Penix is, you know, came and where Kirk Cousins' head was at. You saw the reaction on draft night. He's like, what is this?
Right. Well, at least in this situation, he'd know what it was going into it.
Right.
Which I guess makes it a little bit more palatable. And Mike...
Can beggars be choosers?
Well, that's exactly what I was just about to say. He's kind of running out of options. You got the Browns, you got the Giants, the Steelers, maybe the Titans. That's about it right now.
Right on. So that's interesting to see if somebody does fall in love with Jalen Milroe, because a lot of the mock drafts have him on the cusp of the first round.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to go in the second round. Mm. I think right now, if the over-under was 3.5 quarterbacks in the first round, I think I'd take the under. I think it's just going to be Cam Shadur, and then I think Jackson Dart's going to go at the back of the first round.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think your Dylan Gabriels, your Quinn Ewers, your Jalen Milroes, I think those are all day two and day three guys.
A lot of guys are wondering, you know, D Hopkins, could you get more money to sign somewhere else? He signs a one-year, $5 million deal. He was doing some interviews. Then basically he's excited. The idea of playing with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, how many TDs can you get from those guys? Can you create your own monster offense? The taste you got in your mouth from D Hop is how bad he looked in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he has some atoning to do, Mike Bell. And you know what the good thing is there? They need him to do one thing. Run down the field as fast as you can in a straight line and catch the ball.
Right.
If he can just do that and get 6 touchdowns on the year, that's going to be a win of a signing right there.
So I like the fact the Ravens are going to, you know, get more weapons for Lamar, but that defense has got to be consistent for 17 weeks.
Yeah, that's been their bugaboo the last couple of years is, as you just said, the defense has very, very talented players on it, but putting it together. Part of that, though, Mike, is the division that they play in. They just beat themselves up every single year. So, right. You know, at least a couple of losses are coming out from there. Although this year, I think, depending on what Cleveland does, It's interesting, too, because our friend Mary Kay Cabot was reporting some new details on the Myles Garrett contract negotiation, and apparently he wants to be the man there in a way that he wasn't before, but how can you be the man on a team that might win four games? That's really going to be the issue there. I think even if Kirk Cousins goes there and starts 17 games, I mean, what's their ceiling, Mike? 6-7 wins?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just the idea that Josina Anderson was hearing that teams are talking. So that would be the Browns, Steelers, Giants. I can't think of anybody else.
No, I mean, maybe the Titans are a sleeper team if they want to draft Abdul Carter, number one,
right,
and get a veteran in there to challenge Will Levis, maybe.
That's not a bad idea either, because, you know, then you could still, and if you don't like this quarterback class, you still be in the mix for next year, and Kirk Cousins is solid, if not spectacular, based. So I just would love to know what personnel guys look at from last year, and what do they think of Kirk Cousins? Do you say that that's why he was running that dog and pony show down at the Super Bowl? Oh, no, I was hurt. Everything bad, really bad, because he's trying to sort of resuscitate the image and the perception. I just would love to know what personnel guys. You look at that Raider film. Who would have him under center for their team?
No, nobody.
That Monday night game.
But the caveat is, if you believe that the guy who broke the franchise record for most yards in a single game and was NFC Offensive Player of the Week twice is still in there just because of the injury, then you make a move.
That's the conundrum, man. That's just the insanity of so Falcony a season, where he has two of the greatest games for a Falcon quarterback, that unbelievable Thursday night game that was electric at Mercedes-Benz. He makes that beautiful throw. I mean, his throws, because I was sitting like four rows behind the bench down in Tampa, he looked great.
Yeah,
in that game. And, yeah, then the wheels start to fall off. The Cowboys win, and then the Saints game, and I have to remind you guys. Speaking of quarterbacks, apparently I saw this in Pro Football Talk. You said this earlier. I guess there's a mutual interest between Carson Wentz and the Browns in what? Him buying season tickets?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's with them apparently not wanting to budge on Cousins, they got to pivot somewhere. It's not going to be Kenny Pickett.
Right.
So could it be the former guy who was on his way to an MVP season and then fell apart? I don't know.
We can talk some NFL, and we can talk some college football with Joe DeLeon. He is an NFL analyst, does college too for the Believe Podcast Network. We're going to talk to Joe D coming up next. Orin's got some Yeah Man, No Man too. It's a big 3 o'clock hour on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, in the 3 o'clock hour. We were talking yesterday doing the show at Twin Peaks up in Chattanooga about rumors that got going. And it was funny because our audience was like, yeah, yeah. And some guy's going, there's no way in hell the Jaguars would be doing any of this about shopping Trayvon Walker. There was one article that got picked up by SI, and then Sporting News had it. So, look, if we don't talk about it, you get mad at us.
Right.
We're not talking about it. But, yeah, I could see no reason that the Jags would do it, although there's an article today from SI.com talking to an unnamed personnel guy in the league that says, yeah, if you want to reset, you know, you'll get a lot of stuff for Walker, but he's also really good at his job with getting the quarterback on the ground. Makes no sense.
No, I don't think that they would do it, essentially, because those are the guys that you, much like what the Browns just did with Myles Garrett, as we just talked about, those are the guys you build around, not the guys you let
go. No, it's tantalizing for us because, hey, it checks the Georgia box. We get a Georgia Bulldog, you know, who does his job, and you don't have to risk if the Georgia Bulldogs in this draft can do what he does. We'll talk about it with Joe DeLeon. Joins us right now, guys, from the You Believe Podcast Network. Yeah, that was a rumor yesterday, Joe. We thought it was kind of kooky. I can't imagine why they'd move on from a guy like Trayvon Walker.
Right, you're talking about a team right now that's in a position that's trying to keep their best players. You know, kind of they just are now starting to see his ceiling. He's starting to actually produce and get better. This was a player who, when he was picked, I think everybody understood he needed to bake a little bit. You need to put him in the oven and see the full recipe come to fruition, and it's starting to come to fruition. Why the heck would they trade him now? I'm not buying that one. That feels like one of those goofy aggregator rumors that pop up.
Joe, when it comes to the draft coming up, it seems like Cam Ward has established himself as QB1, but do the Titans take him at number one overall?
Yeah, I feel like right now that's where all the steam is pushing towards, because, one, after he had his visit with the Titans, it suddenly turned from the Giants are engaging in talks to be aggressive to move up. And Jordan Ronan of ESPN actually, I think, reported this last week on his podcast, talking about how that plan is kind of dead. And if it's dead, that means the Titans feel pretty good about Cam Ward. I think for Brian Callahan and their whole new front office, they need to get some sort of youth in order to inspire the ownership group, inspire the fans to believe and see that this thing is turning around and going in the right direction. Cam Ward has all the tools to eventually be a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think that's something that's forgotten, that people say that, oh, he wouldn't be the first quarterback taken last year. He wouldn't even be the fifth quarterback taken last year. He still has these traits and this crazy arm and the willingness to take risks and knowing how to use his arm to succeed in risky situations that sets him up to play as good as Jordan Love and Patrick Mahomes. If we remember back to when those guys were drafted, they weren't talked about as the first quarterbacks in their classes. They were talked about as super raw, having high potential and needing maybe a little bit of time to sit. And once they got opportunities to grow and develop and to learn, they took off. They were also older prospects, just like Cam Ward is. So maybe Cam Ward gets picked first overall. You give him a little bit of time. You don't rush him out there. I think by year two and year three, we'll see that the Titans made the right move sitting at that spot.
It is the Joe DeLeon, guys. You can catch his podcast on the Believe Network talking NFL. What do you make of the Shedeur Sanders stuff? Simply teams throwing some jive out there, hoping he falls to them, or are the Giants going to pass? Where is he going?
Yeah, I think that the whole rumor that was thrown out there during the combine that he was arrogant during his meetings, that just feels like teams that are desperate right now, trying to create a smokescreen to hope that he slides and ends up in their lap. Maybe it's a team like the New York Giants that don't want to have to trade up. Maybe it's a team like the Raiders or the Jets that are trying to find their next quarterback that are sitting in the back end of the top 10. They don't want to have to give up a king's ransom to move up that far to take Shedeur Sanders. I think that he's going to end up going to the Browns. I think that he fits well with Stefanski's offense. Needing a guy who's going to be strong in play-action situations, is going to be accurate, is going to be a good decision-maker, is going to get the ball out quickly, is going to play off of the run game really well. More importantly, the Deshaun Watson contract situation is a total mess. They need a cheap quarterback contract until they can get that off the books and they're done with it. And, you know, assuming that they end up cutting him sometime in the near future, instead of trying to go the route of stopgap free agents, which will inevitably probably be more expensive if they bring anybody who's worth anything, it's much smarter for them to try and go with this rookie deal. So I really think that Shedeur Sanders isn't going to last past that second pick.
Joe, the Falcons pick at number 15, but if they were to trade down, do you still think a top maybe 4 or 5 edge rusher that you have on your board would be available in, let's say, the early 20s?
Yeah, and I think what's actually going to happen in this class, that there could be a world where there's a slide on some of the big pass rusher names because there's just so many good pass rushers. And we always see this in these draft classes where there's scarcity at positions. Teams will attack the scarcity because they don't want to miss out. This year it's going to be grabbing the offensive tackles, because by the second and third round, there's nobody that's going to be a really quality starter that you can bank on contributing and being a cornerstone for your franchise. The same thing can be said for interior offensive line. It can be said for receiver. So these edge prospects could end up sliding a little bit. If the Falcons do trade back, the guys I would pay attention to, James Pierce Jr. has been sliding just a little bit because of concerns of his commitment and how much he really wants to be an NFL player. There's been concerns with Mike Green from Marshall because of the alleged off-field incidents that occurred before his time at Marshall. And then there's also guys that I really like that are sliding even further, like Michael Williams is a name to pay attention to from Georgia. Nick Scowerton is somebody who I love from Texas A&M, who's not getting enough love, who when he was at Purdue, he was playing at his correct weight, was super disruptive, was super powerful and physical, put on too much weight this year because Texas A&M asked him to play heavier, right, and he looked really inconsistent. He looked almost out of shape. He's back down to that normal weight. I think that he's going to get drafted the back end of the first round and be super disruptive.
That's a great point, because I've asked Carl, my partner, who's usually in, he's a Texas guy, I said, why was he Doughboy? You know, because that looks like, well, all of a sudden, like you kicked it into gear for the combine, but if they asked him to play at a bigger weight for this role on the D-line, that's a different argument altogether. Why do you think Michael Williams is sliding? Because, Joe, we've asked everybody who's come on the show covering the draft, is it because, like, I mean, he's a complete player, but is he going to be an edge rusher? And for all we know, the Falcons won't look for an edge rusher. They may go tackle. But do you think he could be that, like, a double-digit sack guy in the NFL?
I think that he can be, and he actually compares pretty favorably to Trevon Walker of the Jaguars, where both were really good run defenders. And that brings a really nice floor to who he'll be in the NFL, that he'll just be really good against the run. But he's got this rare bend and burst and just raw power that is going to set him up to be a really good power rusher in a 4-3 scheme. I think if you give him a little bit of time, and also you put him on a team that isn't desperate for sack production immediately and is going to be patient, almost unlike what happened with Walker, where everybody was calling him a bust because that first year didn't go up to the expectations set for him as a first overall pick. But I think that he eventually could be a 10-15 sack guy in the NFL because he's got rare tools. I don't know if I classify it as a slide. I don't think that he's going to fall out of the first round. He's one of the few guys that of this edge class that doesn't have like a character concern or a background worry like Pierce and Green. But the fall just seems to be the case of other positions getting projected to go sooner because there is that scarcity, like I mentioned.
Do you think a wide receiver goes in the first round?
Oh, absolutely. I just think that the first receiver is going to go later than people expect. I don't think that teams are in love with a single guy in this receiver class that they're going to feel that they need to rush to the podium to get their guy. Like Tetteron McMillan tested really well at his pro day. He ran a 4.48. We got to take into account you had a 0.08 to any hand times at a pro day. So he ran about in the 4.5s, which was expected. There's separation concerns for him on film. Luther Burden has production concerns because he had such a big drop-off from the amazing first two seasons in the SEC, and then he's all of a sudden only putting up 500-600 yards this past year. And a lot of people wonder if Matthew Golden is good enough and worthy enough of being the first receiver selected because he projects best as a balanced guy who's going to be a really good second receiver in an offense, kind of like Jordan Addison is for the Minnesota Vikings, but he won't really be anything more than that. So there's three really good options. Emeka Abuka is also in the mix, who doesn't get talked about enough from Ohio State, who's just a super steady slot player. There's a lot of options, and I think all four of those guys are going to be coveted by NFL teams because the options really thin out in the second round.
Joe DeLeon's with us, guys, from the Believe Podcast Network. Do you think anybody's going to actually give us a third-round pick for Kirk Cousins? I think we always felt that Cleveland was probably the most likely fit. Maybe Tennessee could be one, but we've been killing the GM. I said either do one or the other. You know, if you like Penix, just draft him and make him your guy. Either way, here's where we are. Do you think anyone will trade for Kirk Cousins?
I think somebody will trade for him, but a third is less. Be real here, that's insane. His contract is huge. He looked rough, like really rough down the stretch this year for the Falcons, that you saw the Achilles injury and what it was doing for his mobility and for his ability to plant and to drive the football. That's a problem. That's an issue. I think that teams seeing that and worrying that, hey, we could end up trading for him and he could end up not being good enough to start for us. There's no way that they're giving up a third. I know that there's some desperate teams out there, but the desperate teams like the Giants or the Browns or the Steelers, I don't think that they're going to be that inclined and feel that they'd be completely screwed if they didn't get him, that they'd have to trade a third. It's probably going to be a more of a later day three pick.
Before we let you go, Joe, if you're an NFL GM, do you still want Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career, based off the potential that he had last year versus everything that he does off of it?
It depends on the team that you are. I think if I'm the Giants, no. I know that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are another team that's really desperate to figure out, like, how can we be competitive to save our jobs? I would not want to bring a guy in like that that could completely commandeer the roster and the direction and everybody's focus because he's such a distraction. I think the better situation, like if you're a team like the Steelers, having a veteran like him could help them reach the AFC championship game because their defense is so good. And we saw Russell Wilson was way too timid for them offensively that you need somebody who's willing to take some more risks. So it just depends on the team. But you need to be a team that's ready to win now and also is kind of on that last window of trying to win at the current moment, that it's worth making that short-term investment. These teams that are messes right now, they're trying to rework their rosters, the Browns and the Giants, should not touch him.
Great stuff, man. You can follow the Believe Podcast Network, and you can see what Joe's got to say. Next time, we'll talk more college football with you, Joe. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, man. It is Dukes and Bell, this hour of the show brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Chris in for Carl today. Had a great day yesterday, man, up in Tennessee. By the way, I'll tell you in guy talk about, trying to get home quickly without getting hassled by the man. Up next, speaking of the man, the Big O. He's in charge of Yeah Man, No Man. Hear it next. It's a hump day on Dukes and Bell, and thanks for hanging out with the number one sports talk show and the number one sports talk station. Biggest station in the Southeast, Joe?
That's right.
Chris is filling in for Carl today. Chris is working overtime because he's a producer. He's not just a producer. He's an on-air talent, and he just stocked this show full of stuff, like Chuck Barris on the Gong Show. Lots of stuff today on the show. We're going to talk to Clark Kellogg, top of the hour, as part of a TBS-CBS. And obviously, March Madness coverage. Greg Allman's going to join us. Not Greg Allman. We always say this every time. But Greg Allman, A-U-M-A-N, from Fox Sports. More NFL is Falcons making moves. We sign a guy. We're shoring up the defensive backfield. Maybe, as Chris says, does have any bearing on what we will or won't be doing on draft day. We'll continue that conversation and plenty more on the tournament. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll be at Hooters, as we mentioned, Cumberland location right there on Cobb Parkway. Swing on by, man. Get some wings. Have some fun. Fellowship. And watch Georgia and Gonzaga. We'll be giving you updates as best we can. Can't use the pictures, descriptions, and accounts without the NCAA's approval. But we'll let you know what's going on starting at 4:30 tomorrow. Right now, though, time for Oren with some Yeah Man, No Man. No, that's not right. Chris is to my right. Oren to my left. Oren's filling in for Chris. What you got?
Chris is here, but that's not in the spot he normally is.
Hey.
No, got promoted to the big chair today.
For yeah.
Chris, yes. Before we start here, I want to give a shout out.
When Carlos goes turtle, I'll go Oren.
Well, there you go. Yeah. We can just kind of keep that cadence, if you will. Continue in there. I want to give a shout out real quick here. My sister-in-law had an Uber driver. My sister-in-law is also very lucky. Through her job, she managed to go to Korea last year when the Dodgers were there for that opening series.
How cool.
Is in Japan now. Happens to be in Japan for that opening series, but got a ride to the airport from a guy named Ernest in Alpharetta who works from home. Ernest is a big, big fan of the show. Got my sister-in-law to the airport safely. They had a really cool conversation. Was really geeked that she knew somebody that worked at the station. So shout out to Ernest and Alpharetta, who is a big fan, not just of the station, but of the show. So
thanks, Ernest. You're a good man. We have a lot of guys, sometimes are part-time, sometimes guys are semi-retired that listen, that are Uber guys. I've had a couple. Carl and I have had a couple dudes. We always appreciate you guys out there. And again, guys, sorry for the cabbies out there if you're listening, too. It's just, get to the airport. It's just, oh, man.
We love you guys, too. Absolutely. We love all of our driver service workers, everybody out there.
Provided the cab is newer than 2001 and doesn't smell like BO and radiator. And back to you, Oren.
Yes. There you go.
And by the way, real quick, if you really love us, here's what you do in your car. You download the Odyssey app.
There you go, Chris.
And you play it through your speakers.
Ah.
Because that really, you want to keep Dukes and Bell number one, that's how you keep Dukes and Bell number
one. A little
one.
Industry secret for you all.
That's what they tell us.
Download that Odyssey app and you play it right through your car.
That
right
does on. Us so good. Does us so well for our ratings, our numbers, all that good stuff, and all the bonuses that we get, all that lovely good stuff.
That's what they're telling us, what they said.
Today in the NFL, gentlemen, is good old rule proposal announcement day from the NFL teams, not the rules committee with Rich McKay and all those guys, but teams are submitting rules or rule proposals, and the Detroit Lions have submitted a couple very interesting ones. Number one, a significant change to NFL playoff seeding that will instead use your regular season record as opposed to you just winning a division. So instead, you would have the number one seed would have the best record in the NFL, but number two would not be the best conference record team, and three and so on before you got to the wild cards. You would take number one and then have everybody else underneath be arranged by their record. So if you finish you know, 13-3 and you weren't a division winner, so to speak, but you finished 13-3, or you had to be division winner at that point. But yeah, you finished 13-3, you would be higher seeded based on what your record is rather than you just winning a division and getting in that way. So say you finished like 9-7 and you are a division winner, you wouldn't be like a number 4 or number 5 seed. You might be out of luck. And instead of hosting a playoff game, you'd be on the road that first round in that opening round of the playoff game. So yeah, man, no, man. Guys, taking away that division winner caveat and getting you maybe a bye or a home game and just throwing everybody in together.
Yeah, the history of the NFL, it's always existed. I know that we've seen, you know, teams below 500. I know the Jets famously 8-8 one year with Bruce Coslett hosted a game. There's a memory lane. But yeah, I mean, I understand if you've got a very competitive division where you've got teams that have like 13 or 12 wins and they're on the road to a team which has 9, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's the way the NFL – what do you feel? You want to reseed? And then, but you're also taking away the importance of the division title.
No, I don't, because of what you just said. Like, I know that the Falcons benefit from being in a weak division. They still didn't win it. But the point is that that needs to mean something, and it does mean something. Divisions in
– it's got to mean a home game. Division's got to mean at least one home game. Now, again, if you, but here's the thing, if you win that home game, now you're going to take it away from me and the team that didn't win their division?
No.
I get the argument because of everything you, Oren, just said, but still, I don't want to see a monkey with
I don't like this. The divisions mean something in the NFL. Don't take that away. Look at the divisions in the NBA. They don't mean crap because of this exact thing.
Right.
So I don't want it anywhere near football. No thanks.
I mean, I get the argument for it, but again, for knowing that, you know, 9 or 10 games usually, 9 or 10 wins usually gets this division, and that's one thing as a fan, especially for your a team that's, you know, struggled, you want to see that extra home game, and you want that playoff game. So I'm going to say no.
Keeping with the Lions' proposals here, because they led the league last year with 11 flags for defensive holding, they want to eliminate the automatic first down that comes with illegal contact.
Just make it a 5-yard?
Or defensive holding. Make it a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, then you'd be grabbing an old game.
Isn't that sort of the thing, like, to prevent a touchdown? Yeah. It's like, I don't want to give up the big player, the score, so I'm going to grab
but
you.
But the automatic
you
the first down, yeah. That mitigates, I mean, generally, I mean, if you don't, I just think guys will be, it'll be more clutchy, and they've kind of legislated that extra contact since the Patriots used to mug the Colts back in the, you know, 20 years ago. I don't know. What do you think?
Dan Campbell should stick to biting kneecaps, man. I don't like either of these proposals right. from the Lions.
The only thing I want, which we're not going to get, and I'll, give me 30 seconds, and I'll try to put me on the clock. Instant replay review. It's the most important call. It changes the complexion of games. It just absolutely flips the field. And sometimes, I know it's a judgment call. They don't want to get into the weeds of overruling a judgment call, but sometimes the judgment is not right. So I don't know. Oh, that's my beef. I think instant replay, they gave it to us 1 year after the Rams-Saints debacle, where the Rams came here for the Super Bowl, and the Saints admittedly probably shouldn't have been here. They didn't handle their business in overtime. Regardless, that's my beef. I think instant replay should be reviewable.
I agree.
Absolutely. Okay, the last one here is that the Eagles, both
now,
teams.
Pass interference should require instant replay. Yeah. Instant replay is not. That would be the review. Scratch that, reverse
I picked
it.
Up what you were
You know what I
down.
Mean. I Thank you. Only you understand me, Chris.
I got it.
Back to you, Oren.
The Eagles are submitting that both teams, sort of like in a playoff game, we still have this right now, both teams would get one possession guaranteed in an overtime game during the regular season. So regular season rules would be like the playoff rules. Both teams during that time would get one overtime possession guaranteed. Yeah, man, no, man.
Nah, I like the dramatic flair that's attached with it, the way that it is right now. Listen, I don't need a reason to make the games longer, but at the same time, I want a fair result.
So you know what? Both teams getting the ball in overtime?
Nah.
But we do it in the playoffs. Why not do it in the regular season? It sets up the playoffs.
Because stop them, right?
Yeah, but no, but that's not right. I mean, I do think that if you're going to do something in the playoffs, which determines the game, why can't you do it in the regular season, which determines who gets in the playoffs in the first place?
No. Because you got to stop them, Mike. Like, but the game isn't just one.
Yeah, but sometimes it's a momentum thing where you're a team which, you know, you've had some momentum and all of a sudden, and whoop. Then they get the ball and that's it. I mean, I've seen both sides of it. I just think if you're going to do something in the playoffs, that you should not have that rule in the regular season. And you're going to cap it at 10 minutes anyway. The overtime doesn't change. Keep it at 10.
No, how many times have we, I equate it almost to this. How many times have we seen the Falcons give up game-winning drives the last couple of years.
Right.
You re-put your soul. Like, it's the same thing. You got to stop them. Like, if you give up 35 points in an NFL game, you don't deserve to win. And if you give half of those points up in the fourth quarter in overtime, then you definitely don't deserve to win. But I like it in the playoffs because it does give a flair for the dramatic, in which it was all based on that game, as we know, where Mahomes and Allen were battling and they didn't get a fair shake.
Right.
All righty, guys. We also had the success in the NHL of the Four Nations Tournament. It was great, compelling television. It was something different from the kind of normal All-Star game, and the ratings reflected that too. Tons of people watched that, more so than like some part with the Olympic viewings and things like that, Stanley Cup Finals and things like that. With the success of that, NHL is thinking about altering the All-Star game once again. Maybe not another Four Nations tournament, but Gary Bettman is saying that we're reevaluating how we want to do things because I think we've raised the bar about as high as you can for an All-Star game in any sport. Mm. Yeah, man, no, man. Do you think they should just stay with the Four Nations tournament, or should they kind of attempt to maybe go even further than what they did before, if that's possible?
Yeah, but you have these injuries. That's the thing. Boston loses a star. You know, Tkachuk goes out for the Panthers. That's the debate because, you know, when you're repping the U.S. of A. or you're repping Canada, you're going full tilt. And it's the ultimate competition. It's not an exhibition. This was supposed to be an exhibition. Problem is, guys got hurt that affected the playoff outcome. So I could see some owners pushing back. I mean, maybe you change the format. I mean, the thing is, you don't want to make it where every other year, because then there's the other year, you don't want to watch it because it's a joke. The NHL, part of the reason they had to go to this is they're in the same boat as the NBA, where nobody was playing defense. Nobody's going to hit anybody. So the games became like watching softball. So I don't know how the NHL does this and maintain some degree of, you know, you want to have that intensity without having the injuries. And NHL's a contact sport, man.
Right. And I think the other issue too, Mike, is like next year they can't do it because of the Olympics.
Right. So three of the four, you're going to have the Olympics anyway. So how do you balance that in those three other years? That's the question.
I think that you make it a part of the All-Star. Like, you put it in as a rotational piece. That's the only way you can do it. But I don't think after the success that they did have this year, you definitely can't just scrap it. There's no way. It was too. It's the biggest thing the sport has done in since what, Mike? I don't know, 1980. I mean, right. On an international scale.
No, I mean, it's just that's what you when you create this kind of juice. You know, we can't have the Russians because they're evil. But you know, if you had the Russians, it'd be like the old days when I was a kid when they had the CCP on the jersey. Holy cow! And they played NHL teams. We go back. You want to see something? Watch how Canada, how the All Stars play the. The Russians didn't know whether to poop or go blind. They beat the snot out of them. Oh, it's glorious. But anyway,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. But that, you go back to the 70s on that. Man, you want to see some NHL players beat. I mean, the physicality of the North American game versus what they do over there. It was great.
Yeah, you just can't lose the momentum totally. Right. That's my thing.
Last one here real quick. I'm a new fan of this guy now. Scott Cross, the head coach of Troy basketball. 14-3 matchup versus Kentucky coming up in the opening round of the tournament. He's got an interesting strategy on how he recruits his players, and I think this just may prevail over Kentucky.
We're a town of 15,000 when school's not in town. So you can imagine you got one Waffle House per 5,000 people. So probably most per capita anywhere in the country. But started off the first two recruits I brought on campus were driving down the main street. I point out Waffle House, ask them if they want to eat there for breakfast. And they were like, Waffle House? You know, hell no, I don't want to go to Waffle House. I'm like, okay, my bad. You know, we'll try and eat somewhere else. Long story short, we signed neither one of those guys. Then we brought a guy named Nick Stampley, who's an OKG, our kind of guy. He was our third recruit to visit. We're driving by. We don't even say anything about Waffle House. He sees it. He's like, oh, coach, y'all got a Waffle House here? Can we go there tomorrow? He was our first signee.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, man, no, man. Signing guys based on the fact that they love Waffle House.
Well, that's good. I think that was the question this morning in the steakhouse. Chick-fil-A or Waffle House? Hard decision. Very hard.
Either one, Mike, represents Americana and a true blue blood.
Right.
That's what I want.
And, you know, as I always say, man, I wish there was a separation of church and chicken because, man, you need that on a Sunday sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Damn straight.
On that note, gentlemen, let's go ahead and get out of here.
Hey, man, great job by Oren. He'll be doing it again tomorrow, guys, as Chris is in for Carl the rest of the week. Friday, we're going to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. More tournament action. Keep you up to speed. See if your bracket gets busted, baby. And we'll be following all the big games tomorrow. Though, going to be a lot of fun watching Georgia and Gonzaga. Coming up next, speaking of the tournament, one of the nicest guys, Clark Kellogg, great hoopster and a guy who has to deal with Kenny and Chuck and the TBS guys about once a year in the tournament. We'll talk about that. Get his picks to click coming up next.